you're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we are traveling around the state exploring band shells, those outdoor performance spaces that are typically used by concert bands and orchestras. The roof and the back half give musicians that cover from the elements, and then they project sound through the open side and out toward the audience. And band stands are a smaller version of that. What questions do you have about band shells in Wisconsin? Are you curious about one in your city or one that you visited? Are you a musician or another artist who has performed at a band shell? What do you think about these venues? Do you have a favorite one? Join in at 800-642-1234. Marjorie Kozich is the creator of a website that chronicles more than 100 band shells and bandstands across Wisconsin. Marjorie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks, Kate. I really am excited about being here and talking about it.
So you've been building this collection of band shell photos and history for about 15 years. How did you get started?
Well, it wasn't exactly an aha moment, but one time we were traveling in Minneapolis and we happened upon Lake Harriet, which has a gorgeous band shell there. It's not that old, or for me, it's not that old. It's not like a 1900s one, but it's a beautiful one. I thought, oh my gosh, there must be plenty of them in Wisconsin, and I started noticing them a lot more. And then I was taking photos, and then I thought, oh, well, I'll have to find out more about them, when they were built, who built them, how were they built, who is the architect, all that kind of information.
And they have so much history. Each one has a unique story. It was funny, last night I was scrounging around for pictures. I wanted to show you a picture of myself at the Lake Harriet band shell. It was my neighborhood. And I mean, I just remember the smell of the popcorn and the crushed gravel under your feet. And then, like, when there wasn't a concert going on, kids would hoist themselves up on the stage and then pretend to perform.
Absolutely. I have my grandchildren. We were at one with my granddaughters one time, and they put on a performance for us. So
yeah,
it was really fun to watch.
Really neat. So you retired and started working on this project. Did you previously work in music or architecture? Or
No, I didn't. I worked for WEDA, which is Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority, and I worked in the multifamily housing where we developed housing for low and moderate income families.
So by the numbers, how many band shells does Wisconsin have? Do we have any number out there?
Well, on my count, I have 120. I have about three more that are in process of being built. I just discovered a few more this week, actually, by looking. I thought, I wonder if Nina has one. I wonder if Manasha has one. Well, I didn't see one there, and they may have one, but I found one in Kimberly, and I found another one in Green Bay at the Olbrich Gardens, or not their Olbrich Gardens. Uh-huh. Yes, yeah. Their botanical gardens.
What are some of your favorites?
Well, you know the song, You Love the One You're With. So I think they're all really charming and very delightful, and the communities they're located in really love them. They really take a great pride in them. When I wrote emails to ask about information about them, there were great responses. They didn't take a long time, and people are just love to talk about them.
What are your favorite ones around where you live in your neighborhood?
Well, they're in south central Wisconsin where I'm located. Lake Mills is a really charming one. They have a square there, and they just renovated it. Wanakee has a really nice one. Belleville. Janesville has a great one at the bottom of their courthouse. It's called Courthouse Square, I believe, or something similar to that.
Yeah. Do you find that these band shells have similar characteristics in terms of like seating, for instance, a lot of park benches, or, you know, what are some of the common threads?
Some have park benches, but mostly it's a grassy area. People bring their chairs and they set them up and listen to it.
Yeah. We're exploring the stories behind Wisconsin band shells with Marge Kozich. She is the creator of a website that chronicles more than 100 band shells around the state. And you can join in. Do you have a band shell in your neighborhood, in your community? What can you tell us about it? Why was it built and how is it used today? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Marge, where can people usually find band shells?
Well, the public parks are the mostly where they are located. And there are in the they can be in the near rivers or lakes or streams, centrally located. There's a gorgeous one in Wausau that it took them quite a long time to get there, but it's a beautiful one, and that square in downtown Wausau hosts many events, and they use the band shell that's there.
What makes it the one in Wausau so beautiful to you?
It has a roof that's a flying canopy. It's a tensile fabric that they've used, and there's another one that has a fabric canopy also. It's in Two Rivers, right on Lake Michigan at Neshota Park. I've just found that one this year, so I don't have a lot of information about it yet.
So even the materials of band shells can be widely different.
Right, exactly.
You know, from that material to the Art Deco one in Milwaukee,
yes,
which is, you know, very, very sturdy.
Yes, and that one, Emil Blatt's Temple of Music. And it was created in the 1930s, and Emil Blatt's donated $100,000 at the time, and he's from the Blatt's Beer Company, if people don't recognize that. And they had major talent come to that band shell at that time. And it was broadcast on CBS and I think ABC Radio nationally. So that is a very unique one in our state.
How are these band shells funded?
Some of the early ones were funded by WPA funds, Works Product Administration, and that was during the Depression when Roosevelt was trying to get things going and the economy
back
better.
Work.
So
yeah.
In Southeast Wisconsin, there's quite a few that are like that. Others have had major donors, such as the Emil Blatt's in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Let's take a call now. Tom joining us from Burlington. Hi, Tom.
We have a beautiful band shell here in Burlington, Wisconsin, in Veterans Park. And they're really beautiful. What I'm talking about. But anyway, I wrote a song called Mother Liberty. It's for the 9/11. It memorializes the 9/11 tragedy. And anyway, we're going to play the song last year on Memorial Day. So we got up there and everything was all set up. And then the CN, the Canadian National, which goes all the way through Wisconsin, we have one that comes right through town here. Well, the train came through town. The train came through town, so we had the mayor and Robin Voss and all the dignitaries were all sitting there on the bench, and we're all sitting around, and we had to stop the song for about 5 minutes till the train came through town. And then... But if people want to hear the song, it's called Tom Boyle, Mother Liberty, and they can Google it because it's now on the internet.
Well, Tom, I really appreciate you joining in with your band shell in Burlington, and it sounds like you have to deal with those natural elements, whether it's a train or rain. You know, that's just part of the outdoors.
Right, and thanks, Tom, because I didn't know about that one. I'll have to visit Burlington now.
So you visited a band shell in Manitowoc with an interesting history that stretches back to World War II. Can you tell us about it?
That band shell was built in the 90s, the current one.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, the gentleman who was the band director had worked at the building the submarines in Manitowoc. And he had a band there that every time they had a dedication that they would play for it or a launch. And he always wanted a band shell there. And he had many fundraisers. They never seemed to get to the top where you'd have enough funding to do it. Finally, they had a temporary bandstand that our band shell that they used. And it wasn't until after he died that the city were able to build a bandstand, and it is honoring his name.
So, Marjorie, how do you go about collecting all this information? You might have a dozen photos of a band shell on a specific entry, but where do you find the history?
Well, I look up who is director of the parks, and I send them an email, and I have a standard list of questions I ask them. When was it built? Who built it? What was the cost? How was it funded? What are the interesting stories about it? And can you share all this with me? So I do the city parks directors. I will also use the local historical societies. And I will also use if a Rotary or a Kiwanis or a service club has been involved in it, I will contact them. I will also contact the libraries, too, because they are a very good resource for newspaper articles. If I have a date that I can give them, they will look it up and check it out with me.
Yeah, so there is a lot of detective work in order to find out how these band shells came to be.
Right.
Do you find that they're well-maintained?
Usually they are, because everybody loves them, and there's so many performances that they put on during the summer, usually once a week, sometimes twice a week, because they do have community bands that play there, and then they also have other just local talent that they bring in to play.
We're exploring band shells around Wisconsin with the help of Marge Kozich. She has chronicled more than 100 band shells in our state, and she's sharing them on her website. What do you think makes a great band shell? Does it need a roof or a colorful design? Do you prefer lighting or a natural scene? Join in with your remembrances, your questions, 800-642-1234. Email about your band shell ideas at WPR.org. Back for more Wisconsin Weekend in a minute here on the Ideas Network. Wisconsin is full of band shells, and we're learning about their history on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Milwaukee is home, as we had said earlier, to the Emil Blatz Temple of Music, located in Washington Park. It's an Art Deco-style curved band shell dating back to its dedication 81 years ago this month. And the short, thick columns that bookend the band shell are adorned with Greek muses, and the park bench seating can fit up to 8,000 people. It's just one of the band shells documented by Marjorie Kozich, and she has about a dozen pictures of this one entry. Her website chronicles more than 100 band shells all over the state. Does your community have a band shell for festivals and concerts? What can you tell us about it? What does it look like? Why was it built? How is it used today? Join in at 800-642-1234. And Marge Kozich stays with us. So as we look at band shell design, can you talk about the acoustics and how they work?
Well, I'm not an expert on this, but I have seen a couple where it's been a real highlight of them. And one is in Elkhorn, Wisconsin at Sunset Park. And it's a Sunset Park band shell, as you can guess. It's on the National Register of Historic Places. It was built in 1926, and it was designed by a person from Phoenix, Arizona. It was considered one of the finest.
Why was it considered one of the finest? What made it stand out?
Because of its acoustical qualities, and it incorporated thousands of 1 foot by 1 inch wooden slats. It's only one of two of its kind known in existence in the U.S. today. I don't know what the other one is. I've tried to find that out, but I don't know.
There's also one in Siren that you really
like. Yes, that one is actually, it's made out of logs that were harvested from the forest in the area.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's local materials.
It is, yes. It's a very, very stunning. It's near a lake, of course. It's in a county park. It's Crooked Lake Bandshell.
Do you find that communities are still building bandshells, still remodeling them? Are they still part of our...
Yes, there's a lot of activity going on. One of the biggest ones in the state, I think, that's very interesting right now is in La Crosse. And it was built in the 1920s. Wendell Anderson was a physician in La Crosse, and he funded it. It's very Art Deco in style. It didn't have a canopy, so it was like mostly cement and design. Now it's in the process of being remodeled by the city of La Crosse, and they're putting in over $1 million to redo it. It's being redone right now. I'm not sure if that part is finished yet. Several bands that used it also wanted a canopy on it, and so they formed a nonprofit, and they're raising over $800,000 to do that. And I think that'll be done by next spring. So it'll be interesting to see how it all comes together.
You talk with people from all walks of life, from all over. Are people enthusiastic about their local bandshell?
Oh, absolutely. They really enjoy them. They support them. They come to all the concerts. And I would say most of the concerts are free also to the public. So they're a real... heart of the community, and people just love to go to them.
Do you intend to keep building your website, building it out more bandshells?
Well, as I said, I have three more to add, and two of them are local. One's in Mazomani, which is going to have their groundbreaking in late August, I believe. And that one is designed by the Frank Lloyd Wright School of Architecture as a community service, I believe. So, Mazomani is a very small community, and it'll be nice to see it. The other one is in my hometown, Middleton, which they're building a park downtown, and I haven't heard lately what's happening, but I'm sure it's going to be very interesting to see how it all comes together.
Well, Marjorie, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Marjorie Kozich is the creator of a website that chronicles more than 100 bandshells and stands across Wisconsin. You can find a link to her website in our program notes on WPR.org. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about someone who draws under the radar.
On a recent summer afternoon, Nishant Jen, also known as the Sneaky Artist, sat down in an Eau Claire park. In front of him, couples reclined on the grass and split fish tacos. Three children passed a sticky bottle of orange soda back and forth. Dogs sniffed curiously at each other. Jen uncapped his pen and began to draw.
There's a lot of beautiful things all around us. Sneaky art is my way of appreciating beauty in these ordinary things, like today here, an ordinary place and ordinary people living ordinary lives. But I feel like I've learned this from watching them and from trying to make art of it, is that even in these ordinary lives, all of us, like, we're locked in these moments of just accidental beauty, not something that was planned, but something that's just there, and in the way they're standing, in the way they're talking to each other. I think it's my duty to record that art. My name is Nishant Jen. Well, I've been drawing all my life, I feel, but I really started doing this as a means of learning how to draw better. I used to draw stick figures. This is 2015. Just the circle with four lines for the arms and one for the body. That's it. And that was the extent of my drawing ability. But I wanted to learn how to draw better. So since 2015, 2016, I put myself through this regimen where I walk around wherever I live, whichever town I'm in, and I walk around and I try to draw everything I see as a means of learning how to draw. I grew up in a city of the city of Calcutta in India, the East. Very regular Indian life. And I studied engineering in my undergrad, as a lot of people of my generation did. That was the most standard education to get because it guaranteed you a job. I was about 2 years into my PhD program, halfway through, when it just struck me that I'm wasting too much time. I'm trying to get a degree that I don't really care for, that if left to me entirely, I would not pursue further. So that's when I decided that I was going to quit. I credit that to the US a lot, seeing the people here and the way they chase after their passions. That really gave me the courage to do the same. When I draw people and I look at them, a lot of these people are very, very alien to me, and I can't even imagine how alien I am to them. But the act of drawing them, although it doesn't work reciprocally, but it does bring me a lot closer to them, in a sense. And I appreciate that fact. It makes it easier for me to be out here. Even though I don't know anybody, I feel friendlier towards them. Even though it's not my town, it's not my countryside, it's not my part of the world in any sense, I feel like having drawn all the lines of all the things over here and those lampposts a dozen and a hundred times, it, in a way I can feel like this, I understand it. It can be more homely. Seeing the world through different people's eyes helps you appreciate a lot of the things that you take for granted. And that's what I want people who enjoy my art to feel.
That was Nishant Jain, the sneaky artist based in Eau Claire. His story came to us from Clara Napert, an intern at WPR's Eau Claire office. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every single Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. And find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend. We would love them. Go to mornings@wpr.org. That's mornings@wpr.org, and we'll explore your tip for a Wisconsin Weekend program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.